So please, grab your Bibles, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, we've been in the book of Ephesians for a while. And we have. And you're like, oh, well, we're down to chapter 6, we're almost done. Well, I'm going to stretch this out because I think this is so important. We start talking about the spiritual warfare that we're in. And you know, we can go through life just thinking things are happening just per chance. Ever done that? You know, just kind of going along and it's like, oh, I'm so caught in the automatic that after a while I'm not taking notice of everything else. And it helps us, I think, to realize that, look, the attack that we are under, what's taking place, there's something behind it. Now, I got to warn you that we talk about the spiritual warfare, not everything is a spiritual attack. Not everything. Not every sickness, not every illness, not everything is Satan getting at us. Not every temptation has a demon behind it. Right? I am a fallen person. I have sinful desires. You know, the old adage where the devil made me do it, I don't often need his help. I can find trouble on my own. Right? And I have my desires that I'm so easy to fulfill and try to find satisfaction in that. But with that said, that even in those opportunities, right, when I am struggling and I am weak, when I'm being tempted, when I have those things, that Satan likes to take us and just kind of give us a little nudge. Right?
Yeah, I like to play host. I like to serve and pour coffee and all that. And over this past week, there's a lot of people that came over to the house. And so Cindy and I kind of stepped up and played host and hostess to all the church family and everything that was coming through and all the family who had gathered in. And someone had dropped off a platter of cookies. And it was my job to kind of give those cookies away. And so as the families were sitting around, I was walking around with these cookies. And I have my wife has an aunt. And every time I walked by, she'd say, I don't need it. But I could tell in her eyes, she wanted the cookie. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You know? She's like, oh, I really shouldn't. And when someone says, I really shouldn't, that really means that I want to, but I shouldn't. So every time I walked by, I would say, would you like a cookie? Oh, I shouldn't. But, oh, they're so good. And so she's like, all right. Well, then it became an ongoing thing. So every time I walked by her, would you like a cookie? And finally she's like, I just give up. All right. You know. And so here, that's kind of how it works, right? She had the desire in her. She had the temptation in her. And I guess I was playing the role of Satan, who was just trying to give her that little nudge. That's kind of how the relationship goes. Satan is an accuser. He likes to accuse us, right? He loves to stand before God and say, hey, check out John. Look what he did. He really says he loves you, but does he really? He likes to play that role. And so in there, he always is seeking out an opportunity, right? Sometimes the outright attack us. We're going to look at that this morning. But also sometimes just to give us that little nudge to give in to our temptations. And so we start looking at our lives through the eyes of a battlefield. It really does change how we live our lives, how we address it, and how we face it. Ephesians chapter 6, 12 and 13 are probably as far as we'll get. And then over the next couple weeks, we're going to take and actually talk about the armor of God. Because God doesn't want us to look, there's a battle out there. Right? There's a battle out there. And while you're on this battle, you know, good luck. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, oh, here you go. You're on your own. I'll see you when I see you. He doesn't do that. He sees us and he wants to equip us for the battle. And praise God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Right? I'm not going to go down through this list of things. I'm going to tell you how you are tough enough. You can do it. Because guess what? Satan is smarter than you. He's trickier than you. Right? If the battle is up to me fighting him, I don't have a chance. But in here, God has equipped us. And Paul uses the illustration of armor. He talks about this armor of God. That we're not defenseless in this battle. And actually, what God has equipped us to do is more than enough to face the enemy. If we use it. Because if we just kind of leave it all behind, it ain't going to do us no good. Right? So in here, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll start talking about the armor of God. How can I stand? And that's really the purpose of it. You know, oftentimes people think that what Satan wants is for you to worship him. You know, I was sharing with someone and talking about the Satan's out there and goes, well, Satan just wants you to put on goat skin and wear horns and sacrifice your cat, and that's what Satan wants you to do. No, there are people who do that. When we lived in upstate New York, there were several Wiccan groups that were up in the hills. And on the holidays that they would celebrate, the police force would have to go up there and pick up all the animals that they were sacrificing to Satan. I mean, that is really out there. There are people who worship Satan. And while I'm sure Satan gets a thrill from that, I don't think that's his main cause. Because you and I aren't his enemy. He's after God. And he can't take him out. God is too powerful. He tried that once. He tried to rebel against God, and he got the boot. And so his job isn't trying to take over God. What he does is, look, I can't get at him. I will get after his children. And what Satan wants from us is us to have broken fellowship with God. That's it. Now, whether it's full-blown worshiping Satan or whether it's my own selfishness or it's just being off and falling into temptation, Satan's job is to break that fellowship. That's what he wants to do. He gets great pleasure of trying to sever that. Because he can't get at God, so he does the next best thing. He gets at us. So the warfare that we're going through here, we need to realize, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." What God wants us to do is stand in Him. Stand in the fellowship we have with Him. Don't let anything in between. And things like sin and desires, all these things that draw us away, sever off that relationship. So what He wants us to do is stand. Stand in our faith. Stand in His love. Stand in that fellowship we have with Him. That's what He wants from us. And that seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Just stand. I'm pretty good at standing. That's it. I've just done it. Here, I'll do it again. See? Not too complicated. And if you're going to play a little game, say, hey, try to get me off this spot. Some of you might take a muscle and you just give me a shove and, I got you off your spot. Okay, you did. My sister was 5 years older than me. And she was a tomboy. She was a brute. She wasn't one of these girly girls. You know? And so her big thing was, because she was older and scarier than I was, she was always threatening us, you know. If you tell Mom, I will beat you up. And she would. She was a tough cookie. My mom says that when they brought me home from the hospital, she was the only, oldest, and she was the only. And she walked out of the room, and my 5-year-old sister put me in the oven to get rid of me. Right? That's the kind of relationship we had. So I was scared of her. And now, as a kid, we'd play this game, stand here, I would stand here, and all she had to do was come up to me. Just, I'd be like, no! Right? I was like,
of her all the way up until I was a teenager. I was still afraid of her. I'll never forget, you know, one day I was, this was probably about ninth grade. I mean, that's, and I was still afraid of my sister. And one day she came up and she gave me a shove. She's like, I'm afraid. And she gave me a shove. And well, I was getting big at that point, or bigger. And I stood there and she gave me a shove and I didn't move. And the look on her face was kind of like, oh, so she gave me another shove. Well, this time I put my foot back and I stood my ground and she couldn't. Well, all of a sudden it dawned on her that it dawned on me that I was bigger than she was. And that changed our relationship going forward. Right? Once I found I could stand. And Satan does that in our lives. If we just think, look, Lord, just help me to stay in you. Help me to stay in fellowship with you. Lord, help me to keep doing what you want me to do. If that becomes the focus of no matter what goes on around us, that will change the dynamic of how we live our lives. Because all Satan wants to do is knock us off. And he knows you, and he knows me, and he knows sometimes it takes a hard shove. Right? And we're going to look at that in just a little bit. Peter and Job are testimonies when God let Satan just shove a person around. Sometimes it's just little things, because like I said, you and I are a little bit different, right? And the thing that kind of tweaks you may not tweak me, so I got to be very careful, because we can kind of judgy off someone. When you know what? Just because you battle differently than I do, I got to be careful. But sometimes, in certain areas of our life, all Satan has to do is go, boom! And we cake. Right? And I don't know what the situation is. Maybe it's sometimes every time a health issue comes into your life, you're like, oh, maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's that one person. Right? Most of us have that one person. Maybe you have more than one, but usually this one person that, you know, even, you know, now you have caller ID, the phone rings and you see their number and you know it's them, and already, even before you answer the phone or you don't answer it, already you're like, that person, right? And Satan knows that. Right? And that person always calls at the worst time or the worst place, or you run into that and you just, right? There's a spiritual warfare. What Satan's trying to do is get you to back off your love of the Lord. So when you think of it, hey, you know what? I'm just supposed to stand. And the battle takes place. It's not your neighbor. It's not your family. It's not even the sickness. It's not all these things. Now, these are issues that happen in our lives. But realize that Satan is using these things to try to get you to sever your relationship with God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what? Because there's really not a lot I can do about my family. Right? My brother is who my brother is. My sister is who my sister is. Now we get along great now. We live 1,200 miles apart. We love each other. Yeah? And yeah, I love my sister. You know? But the battle isn't my boss. It's not even the sickness. It's not even the cancer. It's none of those things. These are struggles we go through. But the true battle is, how is this affecting my walk with the Lord? Is it causing me to turn away? Then I'm losing the battle. But here's the cool thing, because if what we go through brings us closer to God, and it can, that's why Peter tells us, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Because if what I'm going through, all this external stuff, brings me closer to God, then he's losing. Sometimes because of that, he'll run away. Because he doesn't want to bring us closer. He's trying to separate us from God. So the battle we have, the wrestle we have, isn't earthly. It isn't fleshy. All right? Keep that in mind. Because it may seem so much so like that. And I want to encourage you to look beyond that. Look at what's taking place spiritually in your life in these circumstances. Peter, I want to look at Peter real quick. We looked at this 2 weeks ago. That Satan wanted Peter. I'll give you a little background here. Peter had turned around and, you know, Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And they go, "Oh, so you're one of the prophets, you're Elijah, you're all these things." And Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter declared that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a testimony that was. Fast forward that Peter in the upper room turned around and said, "You know what? If everyone forsakes you, not me," Peter's like, "Jesus, I will never forsake you. I'm with you to the end. No one loves you more than I do." These are strong testimonies. Well, Jesus turns around and warns Peter. He says here in Luke chapter 22, he says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Now it's interesting, in the midst of all this, remember the Pharisees are after Jesus. Judas has already arranged to have Jesus betrayed. The things are all set up. They look in the garden, Judas is going to come give Jesus a kiss. And Jesus is going to get crucified. All these things seem like real physical problems, right? You know, is the problem Judas? Is the problem the Romans? You know, is it come down? Is it the cross? Is it the crucifixion? Are all these things the battle? It says, no, wait a minute, Peter. There's a spiritual battle taking on beyond this. That Satan is going to use this opportunity to cause you or to encourage you to walk away from God. Look, he's going to take you, and Satan has asked permission to sift you as wheat. Now, I'm not a baker. I figure my goal in life is to allow bakers to bake so I could eat. It's a good relationship. People bake, I eat. It works. But I've used a flour sifter. Actually, when we were kids, we used to take it out in the sandbox. My mom was never happy. But in here, right, you take the flour, you put it in the sifter. Now, if it's a manual one, you kind of hit the side of it. But the idea is to agitate it, is to shake it up, to break up all the hard pieces. It's a violent act. Satan is a destroyer. He knows violence. And he turns around and says, "Peter, Satan's going to whack you around. And all of this, what's all that's going to take place tonight, Satan is behind it. His goal is to cause you to step back. Step away from the Lord." You know what happened with Peter? That night, as Jesus was brought from court to court, he was beaten and whipped, accused and spat upon. Peter followed along to see what was happening to his Lord. And Jesus says, "You know what's going to happen? Before morning, before the cock crows twice, there you go. He goes, you're going to deny me. Not just once, but three times." "Oh, Jesus, I'll never do that." Be careful what you say, because the battle is real. And three times Peter came up, had a choice. Is he going to stand and say, "I'm with God, I love Jesus"? Does he stand or does he fall? Hey, we know this guy. He's with Jesus. "Oh, no, no, no. I don't know him." Who won that battle? Satan did, didn't he? Finally, the third time, a young girl's like, "We know him. He's with Jesus." And he swears up and down, "I do not know him."
That night, Satan was sifting Peter. And three times Peter failed. Now, do I blame Peter? I mean, here the Romans are taking him. They might take you. They're going to kill Jesus. They might kill you too. There's an area of turmoil, of confusion, all the hopes and dreams and all these things that set place. I mean, these seem like very real things, right? One of his own, right? One of the disciples betrayed him. Who else? Right? All these things that are coming into play are all external, but that wasn't the battle. The battle was, will Peter stand? Or will Peter fall? In his relationship with Christ. And I love this, because at the end of this, he turns around. He says, I'll pray for you. But look what it says here. It says, when you have returned to me. Jesus already knew that he was going to fail. And he was already telling them, you know what? I'll forgive you. Because the battle, even though we might lose it, it's not over. Until we face the Lord face to face. And when we fall down, he graciously picks us up. And we see this transform Peter's life. Well, another guy you know. Job. Job got his own book. He's another gentleman. We turn around and he was blessed. God had many things for him. And Job gives us this picture. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, gives us this incredible insight into kind of what takes place behind the scenes. Like I said, you may think the battle's between you and your relatives. The battle is you between you and the health. Or maybe the battle's between you and whatever it is. You may think that's the battle. That's not the hard part. The hard part is that spiritual battle behind the scenes. Job tells us, is now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? And you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you face to face. Let me tell you, Satan, he's crafty. God says, hey, you've been going around and seeing everything. And he goes, have you seen Job? Here's a guy who loves me. Here's a guy who serves me. Job says, you know what? He only serves you because you're good to him. He only serves you because of all the good things you do to him. Right? You give him this great family. You've given him lots of money. He's got lots of land, lots of cows. Look how much you've blessed him. You know, basically, what you've done is, God, you've just bought Job. Now you take away all his stuff, and he'll curse you. He'll curse you. And the book of Job unfolds and really comes down to this premise. Will man love God because he's God? That's a challenge. Because in my life, do I just love God because he gives me good stuff? Because he does give me good stuff. You know, this past week, many of you, over the past 8 months, have prayed for my nephew. Prayed for a healing to take place. He had hundreds, if not thousands of people all around the world praying for him. Lord, do I serve you just because you heal when I ask you to? And then I see you.
after a half hour of CPR to save this young man's life. God says, I'm going to heal him by taking him home. And I looked over at the father. With tears in his eyes, he says, Jesus, I still love you. Even though you took my son, I still love you. So he took this family and sifted them like wheat. And they stood. Right? Now Satan's crafty. He doesn't give up quite so easy. So the days and months and years ahead, he'll keep poking. See, the battle isn't the cancer. The battle isn't the health. The battle is not all that. Satan to this day still accuses, and what you are is your living testimony. It says, do you love God because He's God, or do you love Him because of all the stuff He's done for you? Right? If you're hit financially or materially, all those things, right? What does it take? You know? Do I back down? Right? You know? When the car breaks down again, well, Satan's like, ah, okay. All you gotta do is poke the motor a little bit, and that gets him going. Right? Okay, Lord, no, I will serve you, I will love you no matter what. Right? The battle is not the motor, the battle is where I stand. And Job goes on because. God says, okay, go ahead. He says, and the Lord said the same, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And he went. And one day, Job lost it all. And Job turned around and said, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan hit him. Job stood. Well, Satan comes back up to God and says, oh, you know, all this stuff, yeah, not a big deal. But his health, now, if you let me take away his health, then he won't serve you anymore. The Bible says he went down. And the Hebrew is interesting because they said he wasn't covered in boils. You know, Hebrew word is singular. He was covered head to toe in one big boil. And everyone abandoned him. He had three friends who showed up. And they didn't help him much. And the book of Job picks up here where Job is just suffering physically in torment. But Job gets angry. And Job says, hey God, what's going on? And he says, God, hey, I want to talk to you. Face me face to face. And the book goes on, Job's struggle. And at the end of it all, Job still stood. Because folks, the evil day is coming. Back in Ephesians, it says, therefore take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The day of adversity will come. Satan is going to look at you and try to sift you like wheat. He's going to hit you. And what he's trying to do is prove that you only love God because of the good stuff he does for you. Does he really love you? You know, does she really love you, God, that much? And he will poke you and he'll hit you. You know, it's interesting. Proverbs 24 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, when things are going great, it's easy to praise God. We're in church.
like I said, we go down to my sister-in-law's church. And it's a church probably about 1,500. The sanctuary there holds 900. They have several services. And you sit there, and you get the praise group, and they have all that going on. And, you know, people are lifting their hands and praise to the Lord, and all that's going on. And I tell you, it is so easy to stand there and say, Jesus, I love you and praise you in that environment. You almost can't help it. You get caught up in it all. You know? I mean, you put me down with 900 other people to back me up, I sound pretty good, singing pretty loud. Get enough drums and everything else. I sound pretty awesome, actually, shouting out to the Lord in that environment. But that's the fit. Lord, I only love you when things are going well. That's like telling my wife, you know, I only like you when you cook good. Right? You know, honey, I only love you when things are going well. Well, that's not much of a relationship, is it? My wife likes to remind me. She goes, on our wedding day, and I usually, when that conversation starts that way, I know it does not end good for me. And she'll say, remember on your wedding day? Well, yes, it's our wedding day. She goes, you promised for better or for worse. And she goes, you owe me a more better years. You've done the worst years things. She goes, now you owe me a couple good years. Good years? Right? For better or for worse. And today, so many couples are signing up for the better. And they realize life is full of the worser. And if any of you guys are English fanatics, because life gets even worser. And some days are even worse rest. But if I only stand when the times are good, then do I really love the Lord? And He wants us to stand. It's not just on our strength, because He gives us the equipment. He gives us the ability. He tells us how to stand. And it's His armor, not mine. And in there, He strengthens us in who He is. Proverbs tells us as well, says, a wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. See, the more I know about God, the more I know His Word, the stronger I can become in Him. You know, years ago, the Lord impressed on me that He is righteous. I'll just use this one thing, that He is righteous. He said, well, righteous, that's a kind of a big fancy word. What's that really mean? And if I can just put this in your thought for you to meditate on, God always does the right thing. God's righteous, right? Does the right thing. Keep that in mind. God always does the right thing. And that's a simple truth, isn't it? Right? God always does the right thing. Here, say it. God always does the right thing. See, you got it. Simple truth. You all have your theology diploma now. God always does the right thing. God is righteous. And you file that away. And because I've learned that, found that way this week, holding a hand of a very sick 17-year-old. Satan is beating me up. Guess what? In the back here, and in the corner here, I filed away something. I filed away a really great truth that God always does the right thing. Now, if I didn't have that here, and someone came alongside of me and said, oh, don't worry about it, God always does the right thing, I wouldn't take that very well. Right? It's the time to learn that is before the circumstances, not during it. Right?
So that's why he says here, a wise man is strong. Yes, a wise man increases knowledge. In here to pack that away and to learn it. Proverbs 10:14, the beginning of that verse says, a wise people store up knowledge. Now, I'm not a military person. They kind of lost it. When I was a teenager, the trend, the thing that they were pushing out here is the commercials were, join the army. We do more before 4 a.m. than most people do all day. And I'm like, that's not for me. Yeah, right? I thought that a better recruiting tool was, hey, join the army. We get up at noon. Hey, sign me up. I like that one. Yeah, the whole, we do more before 4 a.m. than most people do all day. That's not for me. Well, but I have deep respect for those that serve. But you put a soldier on the field in the middle of a battle, that is not the time to learn how to fire your gun. Hopefully you've learned that before the battle, right? Because in the heat of the battle, who knows where your brain is going? Panic sets in. It's funny, because I've talked to police officers, I've talked to soldiers, I've talked to the... They said, something happens because when you are well-trained, when you're in the situation, right, you don't have to think about it because it's just been programmed in. Right? I know I'm talking a lot about my nephew. It's just fresh in my mind. But I'll tell you, watch these nurses walk in and do what they were doing. They didn't even have to think about it. They were just trained. This is what I do. I'll tell you, I would have been really nervous in there if a nurse came in and said, oh, here's the machine. Beep, 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 beep. And she said, hold on a second. Let me get the manual here. Beep, beep, good. Beep, bad. Oh, okay, hold on. He said, whoa, 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 can we get a different nurse in here, please? Right? Folks, so many Christians get themselves in trouble because they wait until the battle starts. They wait until they're in the middle of all of this to find their faith. Now, don't get me wrong. God can use these things to bring into Himself. And if you're in the middle of something now, don't say, well, the pastor just said give up. No, not at all. What I am saying that folks, to have that relationship, to know Him before the battle starts. And maybe already some of this is already filed away and it's time for you to dig it up. You know, maybe you just need to know that one simple truth, that one doctrine we said this morning. God is righteous. God always I'll hang on to that one. Because I'm standing here, and all this is coming at me, all these circumstances, all these voices, all the circumstances, all these things are pressing in on every side, and Lord, You do the right thing. You always do the right thing. I'm going to stand in You, Lord. I will love You. I will hang on to You. I will stand. Satan looks at that and says, oh, this is bringing him closer to God. That's not what I want. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise be to Jesus. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Folks, the battle is real. We face it every day. Satan is looking to knock you off, trying to separate you from God. Sometimes it's in great ways, in huge circumstances. Sometimes it's just those little nudges along the way.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, the battle is great. The enemy is crafty. He doesn't play by any rules. But Lord, we thank you. We have victory in you. Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, help us to stand. Have victory, Lord, in your name. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.